Thank you, thank you. Actually, after she did that introduction, I think maybe I should go over there and do the whole speech behind those little, like, folding things, maybe. I am so excited to talk tonight. Happy New Year's, by the way. It's so neat to see everybody. It's a fresh start of a new year. I love this ministry. I think it's such a unique ministry, and I love that we're going through the book of Proverbs. I hope by now we've all realized that Proverbs has full of insight for us, and it has the general principles for us to live on, like wise living. Proverbs encourages us to desire the way of the wise, and I'm really sounding different. not to be foolish. Do I sound echoey? Sorry. Am I fine? Okay. I'm just not used to hearing myself like this. Proverbs encourages us to desire the way of the wise and not to be foolish. I really like how it seems that we keep building on each topic every month. We look back and we see Virginia, how she was teaching us how to fear the Lord and seek wisdom. And then the next month, Yolanda was talking about how we need to guard our heart. And Vina last month, I love the visual she gave us about how pride can just sneak in so many areas of our lives. So I just think that it's so great. I love how they're all integrated, just kind of like how God's word is. You know, you go to one verse and it comes to mind, and another verse comes to mind that all integrates to like love or friendship or the tongue or pride. Proverbs has a lot to say about what we say. In fact, the subject of the tongue and how we use our words is referred to over 150 times in the book. I always feel like when we get asked to speak, it's almost like, you know why? God's going to be working in my own life when I'm going to be searching God's word and looking up God's word and looking at the scriptures of how we're supposed to speak and how he would like us to be God-honoring. I know that I've been growing in this area, but I also know that I'm going to continue to grow till sweet Jesus returns. And yes, I feel like sometimes it is a huge challenge, and we are just going to say the wrong thing. We just are. But we need to be aware of how powerful our words are and thank God for his mercy when we misuse our words. So let's remember what our theme verse in Renewed Women is. You guys all want to say it with me? You want to grab something that maybe it's on your front part of your folder, or do you just know it by heart? But since it's a new year and we're wanting to remember, we'll go ahead and say, and you can join me, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So that last sentence says it all. So we don't want to malign the word of God. We want to speak God-honoring. We want to be careful what we let out of our mouths. So there was a poll taken in the University of California about words. And do you realize that women speak almost three times as much as men? They average 20,000 words a day compared to 7,000. And it's hard to believe. So I thought it's a good time to ask ourselves really what we're talking about. What kind of conversations are we having? Words matter. They have such power. We can encourage, we can discourage, and we can pour forth love, or we can spew forth hate with our words. Scripture teaches that the words we speak are a reflection of what fills our heart. James 3, 8 through 12 says, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise the Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brother and sister, this should not be. Can both fresh water flow from the same spring? My brother and sister, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." So in that verse, it says, no one can tame the tongue, but God can tame the tongue. when we yield to the Holy Spirit. So if we want to tame our tongue, we need to examine our hearts. So the first step in this process is to examine our speech. Matthew 12, 33 and 34 says, a tree is edified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruits are good. If a tree is bad, its fruits will be bad. So out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever is in our hearts determines what we say. Our words do matter. They reflect what fills the treasures of our hearts. So I'm going to ask you just a couple questions, and you can just sit there and ponder them while I'm asking them. What fills your heart? What fills yours? Is it God's word? Is it forgiveness? Is it bitterness? Is it love? Or is it hate? Is it peace? Or is it anger? What do you like to talk about? What topics are we always bringing up? Better yet, who do we like to talk about? Who continues to keep popping up in our conversations? I am in the habit of complaining. Do I complain a lot? Do I enjoy arguing or taking issue with others? Have you ever been around someone that seems like they actually enjoy arguing? I have. Am I quick to criticize? Is it easy for me to point out other people's faults? Do I especially like to get my point across? Do I like to keep reiterating what my point is? Am I quick to talk about my own experiences on any given subject? Once again, have you ever been around that someone that just happens to know everything about everything? Do I really listen to others, or am I busy thinking about what I'm going to say? Am I genuine when I'm talking to people? Am I comfortable being quiet? That's a wonderful one for women, isn't it? Would others describe you as being understanding? Would others describe you as being kind? Would others describe you as being wise? Some tough questions, right? The only reason why I thought I would ask is I'm sure we can all relate to those questions. I think sometimes our culture is so different. It is so me-driven. We miss the relationship piece when we communicate. We live really busy lives and kind of just plain out selfish. And sometimes it's really easy to justify or compromise. And when we communicate with our loved ones, even our friends, or even just strangers, especially after doing last month's with the Pride, thanks, Davina. It is really something when you had those sheets and you went over God's word about how many things show up in pride. And boy, was that not just such an eye-opener that sometimes things that you don't really even think are prideful. So I definitely appreciated the whole month. But it's something that it's like, I think sometimes it's easy for us to justify. Sometimes we don't even realize that it's prideful, and we were just talking about that at our table. So one of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 141:3, and it says, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. So that little guard is going to be right there, watching over my mouth. I think it's just a great prayer. It's a great reminder always. We need to be conscientious. We need to be intentional about what comes out of our mouths. Words matter. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that may benefit those who listen. I personally think this is just such a tough and hard, like, topic. It's hard to talk about, I mean, because it's so prevalent. I mean, James, the whole book of James, read it. I think that it's just something that we all struggle with, and I think we need to be aware of it, and God says we need to be aware of it. Sometimes it's really hard, especially if we're dealing with like a challenged teenager or a spouse or somebody at work. Sometimes it's really easy just to spew out folly. And Proverbs 15:1-2 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fool gushes folly. That's especially when you're talking about conversations with people. So a soft and calm answer can actually diffuse tension. Just the opposite of a loud word can add tension. It essentially says, if you want to calm a potential argument or disagreement, We need to speak gently. We need to demonstrate being gracious in our speech. It doesn't always work, but I know it works a lot. A lot of times it does. So Proverbs 15:4 says, "Soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." Proverbs 12:18 says, "This one who speaks like a piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." That's powerful. Some of these things that you just don't even realize that come out of your mouth, and I'm sure we could all relate and ask ourselves, did I really just say that? Sometimes our emotions get the best of us, and we really say some hurtful things. And when we do that, we're just giving the enemy an opportunity to use our mouth, to use our tongue. We don't want that. Proverbs 12:23 says, "A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly." So how many times have we done that? Well, let me just ask you this. Have you ever been to some kind of a sporting event? Professional football, basketball, soccer, you name it. And there was that guy. That guy that could not stop talking the entire time. That questioned every kind of comment that the ref or the ump said. And you know what? We don't have to even go to a professional sporting event. If any of us have, you know, if we're all parents or any of kids that are in sports, we know that that happens at a really little league age where there's that person. And I think there was like a commercial about don't be that guy, or maybe there should be a commercial about that. But it just seems like that's the blurting out folly, just, you know, foolishness. Proverbs 10:14 says, "Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruins." Do you think sometimes we store up maybe our emotions, and then we blurt them out, and they just come out in our words? These words, you know, they're careless and they're harmful, and they can have pretty lasting effects. We need to be very intentional about how we speak, even here at Renewed Women. Our goal here is to help us focus on our own issues, not others on the focus. And so when we do that, we just speak differently. And we're just growing in God's grace. Proverbs 26:20 says, "Without a fool, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife." Proverbs 26:22 says, "The word of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts." Isn't gossip ugly? Amen. Yes, it is. How many times have you seen really close friends, even family members, being torn apart because of gossip? It's really ugly. It's hurtful. It's painful. And I'm sure, you know, we don't want to admit it, but I'm sure we've all been involved in speaking it or participating in it at one point in time or another. We just need to be purposeful what we talk about, and be careful. Set that guard over our mouth, oh Lord. Ask God to help us with our speech. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse man stirs up dissension, and gossip separates close friends." This is stirring up trouble. This can even go with being, if you're married or whatnot, but it's bringing up the past. Sometimes, you know, you're in an argument or your discussion and stuff, and you just want to continue to reiterate something, and you just add fuel to the fire. And so we just need to be careful. And obviously, we don't want the enemy to use our mouth and our tongue. We need to be careful of that. Proverbs 10:19 says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." So, I'm a visual person, and I think literally I picture somebody holding the tongue like this and tongue this off. That would not do very well the rest of the speech. But so think about that. You know, we need to be seeking our words and choosing them carefully. We need to ask God to guide us in that. And I think it's really hard, especially when we speak three times the amount of men. I think that sometimes we have a knack, us ladies have a knack for not knowing when to stop talking. Just saying. But we don't want to give the enemy that option to use our mouth or use our tongue. I remember what Proverbs 26:4 says. The fool speaks before weighing the impact of his words. The wise measures their words carefully and chooses the right ones. Think of a time in your life when somebody said something impactful, good or bad, you probably still remember it. Words matter a lot. How about if good or bad, but I mean, they could have very lasting impressions on us. And what we say to people can have just as long. I mean, we sometimes forget that the same reasons that we were affected by some words, we're turning around and doing the exact same thing. So we need to guard our mouths. We just need to seek God and ask Him to watch over. Proverbs 25:11 says this: a word amply spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Proverbs 16:21 says, the wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are like honeycombs, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words can actually help people feel better. In fact, they've even done studies on it, which is pretty fascinating, but they've done studies where people have been really, really ill, and people came in to visit them, and they've just turned around. They've just been so much better. Proverbs 17:22 says that a joyful heart is good medicine, but the broken spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 12:25 says an anxious man's heart weighs it down, but a good word cheers him up. So by sharing a good word with someone, to someone, we can help a friend out. We can help him maybe even turn from sadness or depression to happiness. I think we need to look for those opportunities. Pleasant words create joyful hearts, but discouraging words create a broken spirit, which in turn affects our physical bodies in hurtful ways. Have you known people that have been really, really ill, and they kept going to the doctors, and they really didn't find anything out, and they really were that ill because they were so depressed, and their bones hurt, and they were tired, and all sorts of things. They had all of these side effects of their body, but they were broken. I think it's really prevalent that sometimes we just don't really realize it. We don't realize how powerful those words are. We just need to seek God daily. Ask God to, watch over our mouth. We need to seek God's word and use His words and not just our own. It says it takes an average of 20 compliments to offset one negative comment. Wow, if that doesn't show how powerful our words are, I don't know what does. Proverbs 15:23 says, a person finds joy in giving an ample reply, and how good is a timely word. Once again, think of a teacher or a parent or somebody in your lifetime that has encouraged you to keep on trying, never give up, or just believed in you. I bet each and every one of us can look back and still be encouraged by that someone, that timely word they chose. When this happens, it can be so encouraging. And they might not ever forget it. It'll just be something they'll treasure forever. But unfortunately, same thing can happen with people when they get, discouraging words. They can impact their lives for years. And we have the opportunity to change that if we're the people that are speaking that. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. But for all of us that have been affected, and we all have been affected by people's words before, sometime or another, and been really affected. And that's something that we need to really search our heart and make sure that we're not holding on to some bitterness or some just being angry about it and stuff, because that's something we really need to give to God. And so we don't hold on to things like that, because I know it's not easy. It's not easy when, even if you've been affected by somebody that's gossiped or spoke, unkind of you, and they don't really know you. But we just need to make sure that our identity comes from Christ alone. And that's sufficient. That is all what we need. Proverbs 12:23 says, a prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the head of a fool blurts out folly. Remember the guy at the game. So Proverbs 23:16 says, my inmost being will rejoice when my lips speak what is right. Benjamin Franklin wrote, it's better to slip with your foot than your tongue. So he must have been reading the Bible when he came up with that. He had to have been in Proverbs right then. He must have known that scripture. Proverbs 26:4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or yourself will be just like him. How many times have we done that? How many times have we done that? Have we asked ourselves, did I really just say that? Can I just erase that, please? So sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. How many times have we asked ourselves, did I really just say that? We knew better, but we continued to talk. Do you remember what your mother told you? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. See? It's very applicable. It's like something that, yeah, note to self, learn to live by. And that, you know what's so funny is the sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's a lie. And you know, I think that's an old nursery rhyme that was back in the 1800s. And I don't know what people were doing when they were writing nursery rhymes in the 1800s, but I'm telling you, Rockabye Baby and Ring Around the Rosie and that one, they're all twisted. Do not believe those nursery rhymes. I don't know what they were smoking or what. Maybe the initiative was taking place back then. We didn't know it. But they're wrong. Sticks and stones, yeah. Words can be very hurtful. So remember, like, you know, we constantly recap. We just kind of keep building on each other. But Proverbs, it teaches us the wise to be fool and to choose wisdom and not to be foolish. It says over and over again to see the contrast of comparing of wise and foolish, wise and foolish. We need to fear the Lord. We need to seek wisdom, guard our hearts, seek humility, be careful about what we say and let out of our mouths. Remember what Proverbs 4:23 says. Above all else, guard our hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. We need to, like, treasure those and put those right here in our heart so that they come out in our mouths. And the only way we can do that is if we're making that time with God and reading God's word and applying it. That's it. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. That's very powerful. This is essentially saying that our words can have such serious effects on those who hear them. Our words can be used to help encourage, build someone up, or tear them down. They can have poison or harm or leave lasting impressions. I read the book Five Languages of Love years ago. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but essentially it says that all of us have one of the love languages. And one of the love languages is words of affirmation. So if you have a spouse or a child that perhaps is that love language, it's almost like you need to even be more aware of what comes out of your mouth because they just treasure every little word. And, you know, a lot of times men are wired like that. Men are like words of affirmation. Not always, but a lot of times they are, you know, and they want to be told. You know, our husbands want to be told that, you know, we love them, we appreciate them. It's just, you know, in our words and our actions, they need to come out because it can be very impactful in a good way. Have you ever been around that individual that just knows just the right thing to say? When words are spoken in a timely manner, they can mean so much to the individual. To be perfectly honest, there's been days that I've been, like, discouraged with the pressures of life circumstances, and I'm hoping you can identify. But I've received a phone call or a text message or something, and it's meant so much. I just treasured it, And so I think that with that said, it's almost the opposite in our world and our culture. I think we lose the relationship piece a lot of times. We text, we Facebook, we tweet, sometimes to a fault. I think, I don't know how many times I've had somebody say, I can't believe I put that on Facebook. That was so stupid. I didn't think about it before I posted it. Or whatever it may be. It's just like, whatever. Our words are going to come out in writing, and now everybody else is going to see them. So we need to be careful. And, you know, our non-believers that are our friends on our Facebook or whatever. I mean, I think it's just to be aware and recognize the effects that we could have using those tools sometimes on our friends or families, but most of all, like, our relationship with Christ. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them at all. I think that people can really, I know a lot of people that utilize them and to glorify God, and it's their ministry, it's their outreach, and I think it's wonderful. I'm more so talking about the, you know, sometimes where you just go, I just sent that email, or I just sent that text, and I shouldn't have. I should have read it before I sent it, or I shouldn't have posted what I posted. So when my teenagers got their phones, their cell phones, my husband and I talked to them, and we told them that it's really easy to text, but just remember this. If you wouldn't say it to their face, don't text it. Why? Because it takes away the relationship piece. Have you ever been on a conversation with somebody and you're texting back and forth and or emailing or whatnot, but you just really can't get the gist of the conversation? You literally have to pick up the phone like old school and pick up the phone and talk to them. You need to hear their voice. You need to hear them. And so you can really get the understanding of the conversation. That's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. And on a funnier note, have you ever just wondered if people are really laughing out loud every time they text LOL? It's funny, but the words really don't mean what they text. I mean, honestly, if you ever read a text and you were really laughing out loud the entire time you read it, people would look at you like you're insane because there's 17 LOLs in a paragraph. So, you know, that's all good, but I think our words can be so powerful. Proverbs 20:15 says, "Gold there is and rubies in abundance, but the lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel." Solomon is saying here, can you imagine something even more precious than gold and rubies? It's lips that speak knowledge, which is more valuable than gold and rubies. Isn't that beautiful? I think you treasure that. You treasure knowledge. You treasure just treasuring Grandma Emmanuel, treasuring, you know, Pastor Jim getting up there and speaking biblical truth and the knowledge that we get to have. And what a privilege it is to be in a church where we get to study God's word and have, you know, the ability to be amongst, you know, ladies like this. It's really something. It's just a privilege. But I think that verse kind of is like that. It's just precious. It's something we treasure. I think how important words really are. God created the universe with words. He spoke it and it was so. The Lord Jesus was called the Word. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God and became flesh and dwelt among us." We have the Holy Spirit in us. That's a truly amazing gift, something that none of us deserved. And we're so unworthy, and I think God is so gracious to each one of us. I know how many occasions I've misused my tongue, and I wanted to erase what I had and what I said. So if you're like me, I think like we need some things to do to change some things in our lives. Just real applicable ways, but just a daily surrendering of our tongue, our heart, and our mind daily, and practice self-control. Watch out for sarcasm and critical remarks. There's nothing wrong with sarcasm because I think, you know, a lot of us are wired sarcastic. It's fine. It's, you know, but I think there's a fine line where we all know when we cross that line where it kind of gets to be a little hurtful, little pokes. I mean, you need to be careful of that. I think slowing down and maybe not to be so quick to speak and judge and gossip, condemn, complain, criticize. I could keep going on and on. Sorry. There's so many there, but I mean, really, I think we're also sometimes, I'm so guilty of it. I'm so guilty of just like, rah! And you're like, oh, that wasn't a smart thing to say. Sorry, Lord. And sorry for whoever I just said that to. We need to be diligent and purposeful to speak for more often with words of encouragement and kindness and praise, thankfulness. God is so good. And you know, sometimes we just give too much credit to, it's like we give too much credit to the enemy. We go through our life and we have circumstances, situations, and we spend time, we're talking about this at our table, but we spend too much time talking about the situation and not just giving it to God. And God is in control of it. And we need to be careful of that, even with our, when we speak like that. We need to seek God's glory in everything we say. Ask him, Lord, the areas of my life that I just need to really work on in my speech. Help me be aware. Convict me, Lord, soon. I've prayed that before. Please, Lord, I want to fast conviction because, you know, it's hard. And so I think that our speech can be so powerful. And it really should just really humble us to lead us to, like, pray daily for wisdom, to use our tongue wisely for good, and to mercy for, and thank God for his mercy, really, for when we misuse him, misuse our tongue. To just trust God and keep our tongue in order that we may edify instead of destroy. We are not glorifying God. When we're not glorifying God and we're just saying what we want to say, we're just giving the enemy an opportunity to use our mouth, our tongue. This is ugly, it's sad, but it's true. Our thoughts eventually come through in our speech. Therefore, if we want to control our tongue, we must make our hearts right before God. Let's examine our speech and our hearts and conform our thinking to the will of God so that we can avoid using our tongue in negative ways. Let's not forget that Jesus reminds us that the words we speak are actually the overflow of our heart. Like Matthew 12:34 says, there's just no way of getting around it. We need to glorify God in our speech. We need to be thankful and thank God for his grace that he gives to us each and every day regarding our speech. And I guess most of all, we need to remember what Titus 2 verse 5 is that the reason why? So that we will not malign the word of God. Thanks, ladies.